My name's Mel Herbert, and he's Tom Wolfson. We're going to be talking about the cars, the batteries, the solar panel, the stock price, the man, the myth. We're going to be talking about everything Tesla. Why? Because we're... Talking Tesla.
Let's do this. We're here. I'm back.
He's
from Las Vegas.
How was it,
Talking Tesla 34. Vegas was very Vegas-y. It was full of gambling.
Yes.
And alcohol.
Yes.
And not for me, though. Not at all for me. I didn't do any of that stuff. So.
That's upsetting. You put on a great show. I watched it online. I was very proud of you. It was spectacular.
People were excited.
The doctors and the nurses and the people.
It was some quality education, 3 days in the desert with lots of emotional tearing, crying. I don't know if you happen to see Scott Weingart and the Z-Dog, which no one on this show knows or cares about.
No.
But I got them to do, well, let's be honest, Rob Orman got them to do egg roulette.
That was funny. So this is where you have a bunch of eggs in a carton. Some of them are hard-boiled, some of them not, and you have to like do a question and then smash it on your head.
No question. You just pick an egg.
You just do it. There was no question.
And once you pull it out of there, that's your egg.
It was funny.
Egg roulette.
In slow motion, it was really funny.
The best. That's a Jimmy Fallon bit. I will give full
Jimmy.
And total credit.
I'm sure it occurred before Jimmy as well.
So good, though, on that show. Amazing.
Z-Dog is a very famous internal medicine doc who does these funny raps and videos, and they're of social conscious, and they're good, and everybody should go watch Z-Dog.
Yeah, so he rapped
on
live,
YouTube.
And then we had him crack some eggs over his head. Amazing.
I thought it was way better than Talking Tesla, actually. The whole show was way better than this show.
This show is next level, though. Like, this show's much more esoteric than Essentials, possibly. Although Essentials has the benefit of being bloody and meaty at times.
There's a lot of great slides of people getting shot. Hey, the stock price is down, Tom.
Oh, brutal. Being murdered. $207 as of last night. Down $38 since they launched the Model S. People.
Model 3.
I'm sorry. Model 3, since they announced the launch of the Model 3, sorry people, the people, the investors, the talking heads, very, very skeptical about Tesla's ability to hang on. Some of the reason of that is because so many car companies, and I mean so many car companies, are getting into the EV business in a big, big way, and we'll talk about one of the major players in the meantime, but I would like to start this an experience that I had yesterday.
This is an amazing experience. You were just starting to tell me about it. Go. There's Tom minding his own business when all of a sudden...
So, yes, yesterday I drive downtown to meet one of our friends for a little breakfast at the Grand Central Market, which is LA's kind of eatery situation. It's not really a market anymore. It's just mostly eateries, although there's a meat market. There's a small produce market. Besides the point, I pull over. He was staying at a hotel, and I was like, I wonder how far the hotel is in relation to this market. So I pull over. I happen to pull over on Hill Street at 3rd, right into a public EV spot on the street, very much like a parking meter. Right? I had no idea it was there, wasn't looking for it. I just pulled over into an open spot, and I was like, holy crap, there's an EV. I looked at the sign. It said EV car parking only and only while charging. So it was a Green Lots, operated by Green Lots. Never heard of these people.
Never heard of them.
No idea what the hell their situation is.
Well, Tom, I do know who Green Lots is because I looked it up and it said, designed to solve the payment and network management problems created by proprietary EV charging networks, Green Lots answers the needs of site hosts offering workplace utility and public charging applications through Sky, the leading open charging network.
A level 2 charger attached just to a normal street light post. Little credit card slot, although you can get a membership, and there is an app that shows you like how long you've, you know, post information wise. I downloaded the app. But anyways, you pull up, you pull the cable. You put your credit card in, you plug it in, it starts to charge. It's $1 an hour. You don't have to pay for parking. It's genius. Some of the other downtown EV chargers charge like $2.25 an hour on top of an EV service charge. So this is what the city, the country, the nation,
the world,
the world needs to do is Okay, parking meter, parking meter, parking meter, charger. Parking meter, parking meter, parking meter,
and
charger.
One day, charger, 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 parking meter, right. Charger, charger.
So like downtown, it costs about $1 an hour anyways to park, so yeah. It was no real additional cost. The only issue that I found was that my charger is on the street side and not the curb side. So I had to actually, and it's a pretty long cable, but I had to run it underneath the car and it just barely reached. But when you unplug it for the lazy b****s in the world, it has an automatic re-spooling, right? So it, like, as soon as you unplug it, throw it back under the car, mic. And it goes, and it winds itself back up, ready for the next EV to come into the place. I got about 30 miles an hour while I was sitting
good.
There.
So it's like a 40-amp charger?
Yeah, it's like a level 2 40-amp, standard charger. Pretty exciting stuff. I have seen the future, and it is light pole charging.
I like that. That's exciting.
It was very cool. Very cool. You can see it, a picture of it, on the PlugShare app. It's on Hill Street, right about 3rd by the Grand Central Market. There's one photo of another car, not my car. I didn't take any pictures. I was tired.
So overexcited from your big event.
I was tired.
My brother is in town. He is a Tesla owner.
Nice.
A couple of things to tell you about that. So he's from Australia, Tesla owners. Teslas cost twice as much in Australia as they do here. They're $200,000, thank you very much, due to taxes and stuff. Holy smoke, there's not that many of them there yet. They're right-hand drive, which is weird. Why would you bother? I can't work out why you would bother making, because there's only a couple of hundred that have been sold. And he was just saying that the supercharger network between Melbourne and Sydney is done, and it's almost done all the way to Brisbane. That's amazing. He took my Tesla, and he drove it to the Fremont factory, because he's going to have a tour. But he was all pissed and
Which
angry
Tesla?
At me. The gray one, the S.
The S.
And he's all pissed at me. He's like, you don't have autopilot. How am I expected to drive a car without autopilot? He
Slacker.
Is 100% sold on autopilot.
How about this? I know the answer to that question the next time someone asks you, how am I expected to drive a car without autopilot? Safely.
Exactly. We're going to get back to that in a moment because we're going to talk about autopilot. But first of all, I want to talk about one other fun thing. There's another Easter egg in Tesla. So have you done this? Did you try this out?
I didn't try it out, but I did have a question about it.
Yeah.
I don't have a Tesla charger.
Oh.
So will it work on my charger doesn't have like a little button
clicky,
on
clicky.
Top
I don't think
of
it will.
It,
so right. The Easter egg here is you plug in your Tesla. I assume this happens at supercharger stations, but this is just at my Tesla charger at home. I plug it in and you click the little button 10 times. Not 11,
because
you've
got
9,
nothing better to do.
Because you want to. And then you get this multiple array of colors coming out from that LED ring array around the charging port. And it's super cool.
Yeah.
I'm bringing all the family and friends out. Hey, look at what my car can do.
And if you open the doors, it'll automatically start playing Tiesto. So you can be like, ding, 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 ding,
hey,
ding, 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 ding. It's like being at a Cosmo pool party.
And the only point of bringing up this story is you should go try it. And I just think that this is a car company that is run by super geeks. I don't see Ford or Nissan doing stuff like that. This is a fun little company. They'll be fine if they keep up this sort of quality geeking.
They'll be better if they keep up the production of their automobiles, buddy. That's really the thing. And then also on this page, they talked about a rainbow option for the heads-up display in autopilot. Did you happen to read a little bit more deeply into this?
Please.
There's another Easter egg where you turn the autopilot on like 3 or 4 times, on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off, and the road turns like rainbow, like Mario Kart. Is what I understand.
That'll be distracting.
So like, and it says it's on the S, but it could very well be on the X as well. We should look into it.
And of course, the listeners now realize that when Tom says we should look into it, he means Mel should look into it. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it turns out that if in quick succession you have an autopilot, whether it's an X or an S, and you do it 4 times in quick succession, then you get a psychedelic cowbell road. Oh yes, and it looks ridiculous. Try it out. And of course, the cowbell references to that classic Saturday Night Live skit from the 90s with Fallon and Ferrell and Walken, and it goes something like this.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I gotta have my want cowbell, baby. Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
And then another thing on this same page, somebody, and I don't know who it was, posted like a VR mock-up of the Model 3 driving around a racetrack. Did you see any of this?
I missed all of this. This is on the Verge, and apparently I just saw the one charging port thing, and I read out to my car to try it and stop reading.
There's like a 15-second YouTube video of a black Model 3 zooming around. I mean, I don't know who made it. Maybe Tesla made it. It's pretty nice looking little automobile, though.
Interesting. All right, let's talk about the summon mode of death.
Oh, this article the summon was mode of death. Actually drives me a little bit crazy, but go ahead.
This is from The Verge. Mm-hmm. So this Utah Tesla owner said, look, I was minding my own business when my car just sort of got up and took off and crashed into a truck. And what the hell's up with that, Tesla? So Tesla said, well, that doesn't sound right. So first of all, it shouldn't go without you telling it. So Tesla went and, you know, with their software, looked at what happened. It turns out he turned on auto summon. He turned on summon, and then the car did, in fact, drive into a truck. And the Verge person was saying, isn't the point that this shouldn't happen? This is a very, very important note to make that Tesla has made, but I don't think they've made it enough, that the sensors on autopilot are down low. So this was a big, tall truck and a little tiny S, and it went forward and got stuck underneath the truck because there's no high sensors on this to say don't park, don't like, crash into low things.
Or don't go through a red light. For any of the normal things that you would think that a car would want to do. But this person claimed to have not been in the car.
Right.
Said he was sort of showing a passerby the app.
Yes.
Right? Totally not true. Letter from the Tesla rep to the owner, which details that the owner was like in the car when they activated autopilot or auto summon or whatever, and then got out of the car, and then like a little while later, the car crashed into the thing. Very, very sketchy. Like the owner statement does not at all mesh up with the black box. They were like, you push this button, and then 3 seconds later, you got out of the car. Like they knew all the information, which is a little scary.
So that's part of the point of actually bringing this up. There was another lady that said her car, which was in autopilot mode, rammed into the back of another car and didn't stop, and oh my gosh, and they did the same thing. They go, okay, let's look at that. Let's see if it's happening. Go to the black box. Turns out you'd actually hit your foot on the brake and turned off autopilot. Autopilot wasn't on, you dumbass. You crashed into the back of that car. So the point here is, first of all, they're watching you, which is a little bit scary, but two, stop lying.
Yeah, they know what you're doing.
They are going to check the black box.
Yeah.
So I like this because it actually gives us real data because human beings, not so reliable, but the black box data, much more reliable. And if you don't have autopilot, like I don't, and my brother was all mad at me, hey, you've got an older Tesla and it doesn't have autopilot. Your secondhand Tesla, no autopilot. Tom, if you want to get autopilot, you can get it because Tesla Radio is reporting from that same hacker that worked out that there's a 100 kilowatt battery coming very soon. That same guy retrofitted his old Tesla, his wife's old Tesla Model S, and put autopilot sensors and software and the little clicky buttons on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
This guy,
he's also pretty sure he voided most of his Tesla warranty.
It's like, I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to do this. But this guy is like the most super power geek that I've ever heard of. It cost him about $9,000, he thinks, and about 50 hours.
No, thank you.
I think that he should make it $10,000 and do it for everybody like me.
But don't you think at the end of the day, Tesla should do this? Don't you think
they said
Tesla should do it and make the cash? Why not? Like, get some guys and just start going around, and they could make the $10,000. I think they could use the money.
There was an article over a year ago when we first were looking at this, when we first started the podcast, and I was asking the question of the internet, how much would it cost to do this retrofit? And the numbers back then were about $50,000 because you have to pull the whole car apart. You have to go all the sensors, you have to shove it in. But this guy did it for $9,000. I still don't, you know, I'm not going to go do it even for $10,000. But it's just interesting that he is a geek. It is possible, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So if you're a retired engineer with nothing to do and you have an S and you'd like to upgrade, go check this out on Teslarati. Maybe so, I'll get a little weekend project for you.
The guy's got a blog post about every step of the situation. It's not go down to Home Depot, grab a stick and a brick, and put your car on autopilot.
It's not mixing up some brick cement and putting a pole in the
ground. It's a little bit more involved than that. And again, it's avoiding of the warranty. So the makers of Talking Tesla would like to tell you, probably not a great idea.
Let's talk about some solar stuff. Solar City is getting burned. Boy, it's getting blown. This is from the New York Post.
Yeah.
So it had to drop its installation forecast, and its stock is down 70%, 7-0 in 12 months.
That's a lot.
And according to this New York Times post, it's basically a perfect storm. There's lots of other manufacturers that are out there, and there's lots of other installing occurring, and lots of people have bought into this idea of zero down, and so the competition is big. And then you have places like Arizona and Nevada that are being losers and saying, you know, you're not going to get net metering and all this stuff. So they've really hit the skids a bit, although this is Elon's cousins that run this thing. They don't seem to be that flustered. They're like, yeah, it's going to be a year, but we'll all be good, mate.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's going to be great.
I don't really understand their sort of laissez-faire attitude.
You think just in
towards
behind
their company?
In the boardroom and Elon's there, they are freaking out like, holy crap.
They might be, or they just know something about the financials that we don't, like the debt that they've sold. You know, it's a weird company because it's got an odd revenue model. The Kramer guy kind of ripped into them
that
again.
An idiot.
But he is an idiot. That's true.
But although you know what? Part of it is because I think, you know, they've got this golden Easter egg themselves, which is the Tesla Gigafactory, because they're going to have access to all of those batteries that people are going to install when they're bigger and better. Tom is like about to cry because he hates these batteries. We're going to get to them.
We're going
to
talk about
those. But first of all, some more solar stuff, yeah. And that is Santa Monica. Like 2 weeks ago, we talked about how San Francisco is saying every new construction under the 10 floors is going to have to be solar ready. Uh-huh. Santa Monica has voted in April.
Not solar ready. All they already have to be solar ready.
They have
They're
to actually put
to
it
actually
on.
Put the solar on.
On every new That's construction. Santa Monica did the same thing, which said every new construction, whether it is retail, whether it is residential, has to throw on some solar panels. And there's some interesting thing in this article, which is from Electric. Electric. You got to put electric in everyone. And it says that the National Renewable Energy Laboratory thinks that 40% of our electricity could come from
23 to 27% of our country's buildings. And I love the most awesome thing about that is that you said laboratory.
Laboratory. So 40,
it's America. It's a laboratory.
So 40% of our electricity could come from just about 25% of the buildings in this country. And see, I say this all the time. As I fly over LA, as I fly over San Francisco, and I see all those roofs, and I'm like, they should have solar on them.
But
anyway.
But there's the distribution issue with that, obviously, right? Like if they're in the West. I didn't say it was going to be easy, but you know, that's the issue, right? Is the distribution, the grid is not able to deal with that, and the sun doesn't shine at night. But, you know, whatever.
They say that putting solar on at the time that you do a new construction makes it about 30 to 40% cheaper. And we already know that solar prices have collapsed. They're so much cheaper. They're 70 to 80% cheaper than they were 6 years ago. So if you put them on during the time of construction, it's even cheaper. The only problem with this is, as somebody noted in the comments section, because Tom told me to read the comments.
There you go.
Was that since Santa Monica is sort of a very stable place, there's not a lot of new construction going on in Santa Monica. This will not have a big effect. So it would be much better if they gave some incentives to have people who already had their homes throw it on the roof. I say tear down all the buildings in Santa Monica. It might take a bit of energy to do that and rebuild them.
Maybe.
But
they could start to, you know, if they feel like they're not getting enough ingress into it in Santa Monica, they could do it on remodels. Because so I don't know how this works in most parts of the country, but in Los Angeles and Santa Monica and places like that, if you completely demolish your house but leave a single 2x4 standing in the corner – that's a remodel, right? So a lot of people do that because it doesn't increase their tax basis, right? If it's a remodel, it's based on the sale price and it doesn't get reassessed on the new price. A lot of people do that. You will see literally single 2x4s in the corner of a house that they'll just tack the rest of the house to, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, this is a bit of a loophole, and I don't know if it is in other counties or in other countries. It is absolutely ridiculous. If you tear the whole house down, reassess for tax, much more tax. And if you leave one wall or partial wall up and build around it.
Right.
Yeah, I saw that just like down the street here last week. I'm like, it is the stupidest loophole.
It's the
Why
best.
Don't you close that loophole?
I could knock down my house, keep my 12, 20-year-old tax basis and put a $4 million house in its stead. No additional taxes. Welcome to California.
But California is great for other reasons.
That's true. Many things. It's got the beach and the mountains. It's got you.
It's got
and
you,
me.
The smog, and it's got the Hyperloop companies.
Yay!
Who, one of them, which is Hyperloop One, formerly Hyperloop Technologies.
Thank God they changed their name.
They went out to there into the Nevadas, and they said
the
they had their Kitty Hawk moment, which is they fired up the Hyperloop. And there's a video here, and it's on.
They used a Harley Davidson.
I don't know
motor,
which site this
was
is from.
Fascinating.
And they fired the Hyperloop, and it went really, really fast, and then slow as it crashed into sand or whatever that was slowing it down.
The site was Motherboard.
Motherboard. So it went 100 miles an hour. This is the first public test of a Hyperloop. They said the next test they should get up to around 400 miles an hour. Ultimately, they want to get to 750 miles an hour. It was pretty cool to see, even though it was a very short trip.
It was short, and then it hit the sandbank to slow itself down, and that in and of itself was pretty darn cool. And then I like this last comment you made on here.
Yeah.
Some of the commentators noted, we don't deserve Hyperloop until we fix public transportation. Genius.
That was pretty funny. This was somebody from another country noting that in general, in many American cities, our public transport system sucks.
What?
So we don't deserve to have Hyperloop.
That's ridiculous.
It should go to some country that's got real public transport already.
I can envision a time in, let's say, 10 years from now where somebody has privately built Hyperloop, and it is just speeding past California's $68 billion high-speed rail system because the politicians have refused to walk away from it.
Oh, my God. Please make it stop. Look, Tom, you don't like Powerwall.
Oh, and you know what I like even less? Other Powerwalls.
So the current Powerwall situation, as we know it, is a 6.4-kilowatt Tesla Powerwall that you can go and order right now for like $3,000 or $4,000, maybe $5,000 by the time you stick it in. Nissan has now got a competitor. It's called X-Storage.
Good name.
And it's 4.2 kilowatts.
Yay, even worse.
And it's even more useless as far as I can tell. I'm with Tom on this.
Yeah, I mean, so you wrote in the notes, Tom can hate on this as well, and I wrote, and I intend to. These are like Tesla-level stupid, but only stupider because they're smaller. I don't know what the output is. They're even stupider than something that was already relatively stupid, at least. And when I say stupid, I mean from an economic viability standpoint, right? Because we both know they're not economically viable on any planet.
Yeah, when
Mars
you do the math,
otherwise.
The whole point of these, for those who haven't listened to prior episodes, is that you buy electricity when it's cheap in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
You store it in this battery, and then you use it when it's expensive during the day.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a big differential between the expensive and the cheap energy, and maybe you're in a place where that number is very large.
Yeah.
But this is a pretty tiny thing. It's not even very – I don't know if it even does backup. So to me, it doesn't make sense until we can get these home batteries that – a very large size, like 100 kilowatts, so I could run my house for days and days and days. And Tesla, the big one, the big, what's it called? The big block.
The
that's
power.
200 kilowatts yeah. is the smallest you can buy. And that's $160,000.
Yeah, that's a little
that's gonna
bit
That's going to have to
pricey.
Come down in price.
And all of these, the Nissan, the Tesla, you need multiple batteries. So you're looking at a potentially $15,000 to $20,000 investment when all is said and done to sort of have a decent amount of backup, to have enough energy to run the things in your home that you want to
now,
have.
Now, we're
run.
Specifically obviously talking about, you know, if you're in residential first world country, this doesn't make a good idea. But I have lots of friends who live in rural areas and in third world countries that say this is fantastic for them. They capture their own solar. They use their own solar. This is fantastic. Very different than just trying to save a bit of cash by dropping these one on your house. I just don't see it.
And
don't
if,
see it happen.
And if he can get rich, I don't know, idiots to buy enough of them, you know, like then maybe it subsidizes that rural thing, that rural community situation. I don't know. It impressed me. It remains to be seen whether or not this thing has that sort of viability. I think it does in, again, in like places with a lot less electricity needs in the evening.
Yep.
Like rural places and villages and stuff.
We will follow this and see how many of these actually sell to, what did you call those people? In suburban areas in large first world countries. Idiots?
Yes.
If you're buying one of these, Tom Wolfson is the guy that said that. I didn't say it at all. Talking Tesla takes no responsibility for calling people idiots.
Are you getting one?
I'm not an idiot. I thought I was, and then I didn't.
Now you're not?
I'm like, no, I don't see
why. So you're not. So now you're not for sure. Like, you had made a reservation for it.
I made a reservation, but now I'm like, I don't see the point. Like a 7-year payback period on this thing, and it's not big enough to actually do my backup, which is what I really wanted it for.
Right.
I don't see the point. But I'll wait. I'll wait for generation two or
Deuce,
three.
Dose point.
Audi, which is one of our favorite car companies because they make these clean diesel engines that are so clean, except that they're not. And now this scandal is going through other auto manufacturers, as we've noted, Mitsubishi and other people have done the same thing, where you go and get your car checked to make sure that the emissions are low, and basically you've just, you know, futzed with this software and you've lied to the world. Well, they are saying that they are going to create an EV vehicle every year beginning in 2018. This is good, and I believe this is because of the pressure from Tesla that is selling lots of vehicles and getting lots of hype, and they need a little goodwill. So that's good. This is what we want, other car manufacturers to make EVs.
Yeah.
Do it.
So, you know, in 5 or 6 years after 2018, then most of Audi's models will be available in an E version, hopefully a pure E version and not a weird hybrid E version. And then hopefully this also means the advent of more manufacturers working on infrastructure. And I had this thought the other day. So for 100 years, maybe longer, since the advent of the American assembly line of making cars,
the
right?
T's that are model.
Cars, the T's that are model. Car manufacturers have made cars and then sort of they've serviced them and their service things, but they haven't fueled them.
No.
Right? So they've left all of that money on the table, and it's in a lot of
That's
money.
A big
Chevron,
table. Chevron, it's a very
BP,
big table.
Mobil, right? Why do they not want to continue to make money off these cars? Even in an Apple, let's talk about an iTunes model, a subscription-based charging, anything like that. Why would they not want to, A, sell more of their cars, and B, get more of the money to power those cars moving on into the future by adding things like, I don't know, the parking meter charger that I found the other day.
Interesting.
Things like that all over the place. It makes sense on an economic level for them to continue to get these money, where you would say buy an Audi E vehicle, you pay them an extra $1,000, and that gives you access to the whole gamut of charge points and blinks and all these other things. And you know your fuel costs are kind of set in stone in a box, and then that helps to build out the thing.
I'm no economist.
Yeah.
But there must be a reason. It's interesting. Interesting. Hey, Thomasina?
Yeah.
Apple versus Uber.
This is an interesting article.
This is from Business Insider, and there's a lot of these articles out right now, and I'll try and summarize. Well, let me just read this from it. It says, many are still not convinced Apple will be entering the automobile industry because they doubt that Apple can come up with a product that really leapfrogs the best of today's vehicles, like the Model S, for example. This person is saying that you don't get it if that's the way you're thinking, because Apple created lots of devices which weren't better or landbreaking and made all of the money. The Apple iPhone wasn't the first smartphone. The iPad wasn't the first iPad. They just come along and do beautiful design and make it better and more interesting. The whole point of this article, as I read it, is we think that the competition for a car manufacturer like Tesla is other car manufacturers, and they're saying, I don't think it is other car manufacturers. It's other industries like Uber, like Apple, people who are able to basically take a technology, which is what cars have now become, and do it better and sexier and more efficiently. And it's probably not the GMs and the Fords that are going to eat Tesla's lunch, but an entirely new type of thought group like an Uber. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, if Uber gets into a deal where it manufactures automobiles with Apple, it feels more so like a lot of these companies are looking towards Tesla to be that sort of white label manufacturer on some levels, right? They just need someone to make electric, autonomous. I mean, for Uber, in a perfect world, right? It's an all-electric, autonomous vehicle, 250 miles, can pull into a parking space, charge itself, and get the hell back to work, you know, and it could drive 24 hours a day. it's a completely different paradigm. It makes transportation a lot cheaper. And I was thinking about this the other day. Could you really use an Uber? Like most people use, and I use an Uber, like I got to drive someplace, I need a ride home, to drop my car off, to rent a car, to get to a bar or a restaurant that I know I'm going to be drinking from. But I've never just been like, I need to go to the grocery store, call an Uber to take me to the grocery store, do my shopping, call an Uber to take me home. I want to go and pick up a pizza or Thai food, call an Uber to take me there. Like I've never used it in that sense. And that's what long term it needs to be, right?
You mean the ability to do that fast and easy and inexpensively. So Uber is right now is all over the place here in the States. It is not less expensive than driving yourself. We did this math many episodes ago. So it's still more expensive if you were doing all of your driving with an Uber versus if you did it yourself.
Yeah. Although is it really like all of it? It just depends on how much of your driving means, right?
Yeah.
Because you could be paying $400 a month for your car,
right?
Plus maintenance, blah, 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 blah. You know, but and in San Francisco, general, you're parking it, right? There's a lot of issues.
In general, it's still more expensive if you're using it a lot.
Yeah.
But that, and Uber's prices keep coming down. When it's self-driving and it's electric, because of the fact that the Uber car will be able to be used all the time, they'll be able to take that price, because the most expensive part about an Uber is paying the guy that's driving the car.
Because it's his car.
So once you get that down, then you can get the price of flying around in Ubers to be a third of that of owning a car. And a lot of people say, but I like my car. I want my car. This isn't going to change. The sharing community of using Ubers isn't going to happen, because we have that right now with bicycles, and that doesn't work very well. And we have it with houses, and that doesn't work very well. And I'd say actually Airbnb and stuff is huge.
It does
But I
work
can
well.
Tell you, I hang out with a lot of teenagers. Mm-hmm. My son's a teenager, and it is stunning to me how few of those kids who are now 16, in the States you can get your license at 16, you get your permit at 15 and a half, how few of his friends have bothered to get their permit. He got it. He wanted to get a car and get a permit, but most of his friends haven't bothered. And you ask him why, I'm like, I don't need to. I take the bus to school. Mum will drive me every now and then. I've got a friend who's got a license. It's unbelievable. When I was a kid, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I could not wait to get it, because that thing was independence. Having your license was independence. These millennial kids, they just, whatever.
Freedom.
They can take an Uber. They can do all this other stuff. They just don't care about car ownership the way we do. They care about texting.
Yeah. My daughter's taken an Uber a couple of times to school, a couple of times to other things that she had to do when we were unavailable to be her chauffeurs and stuff like that. But again, I really think the key is, and I would like to try this, and I don't know, like, will people be willing to give up the convenience factor? You go to Ralph's, you spend an hour shopping, and as you're in the checkout line, you call an Uber, and it's waiting for you when you get out. Like, will you wait 5 minutes? Will you wait 10 minutes?
Tom, this is a brilliant idea.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you some cash and a microphone, and that would be a really cool experiment. A day when you've got a lot to do. You've got to go to work, and you've got to go to the, and you've got a lot to do. Talking Tesla is going to pay for you to use an Uber that whole day if you record your experience and the upsides and downsides. It'll be good radio.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
It'll be very exciting.
Let's get
I'm
that
I'm on
done.
My way to the bagel shop now.
That would be so cool.
I think it's interesting, and I don't know, maybe Uber has done this. Maybe people have experimented and actually using it for daily sort of life, go to the dry cleaners, all that stuff.
You're doing it. That's brilliant.
Thank you.
Coming soon. On Talking
Coming
Tesla.
Soon.
Tom and the Day of Uber.
The Day of Uber.
Now it's time for a new section, the Tesla Fun Fact with Robert Rosenblum.
How many batteries are in your Tesla? I have an 85, and the 85 has 7,143. That's a lot of batteries. But wait, you might be thinking, because you're a Tesla aficionado, that doesn't make sense. What's Robert thinking? It's been published, and it's pretty common knowledge, that Tesla uses a Panasonic 18650 battery, which is proprietary. They're not available anywhere else. And that they pack 7,140 of these AA-sized batteries into the power pack under your feet. But wait, there's another battery. There's a 12-volt battery, which is located towards the front of the car. It's a 33-amp-hour, get this, lead-acid battery. How retro. But it runs everything except your air conditioning and the drivetrain. So your computers, your USB ports, your cigarette lighter, which you use to charge your cell phone, are run off this battery. And that leaves two more. When you got your Tesla, you had two keys. And those two keys each have a coin battery in it, a CR2032, for a total of 7,143.
SpaceX, let's keep this moving. There's a lot to be done here. SpaceX, this is from Money on CNN, and it says that SpaceX is going to beat Boeing, or they think that it's probably going to beat Boeing, to be the first private company to carry astronauts. Boeing's a little bit behind, and this is all just bragging rights, because it turns out that NASA and other people, we need many more rockets than just SpaceX can produce.
Yeah.
But it would be kind of cool if this upstart little company that didn't even exist a decade ago could be the first company to put astronauts into space. My only concern with this, Tom,
yeah.
I like this competition, it's all good. Mm-hmm. Have these companies compete. Let's get ourselves to be a multiplanetary species. It's all good. My huge concern, uh-huh. Can you imagine the sphincter tone of Elon Musk the first time one of their rockets has astronauts in it? It's one thing to blow up an expensive satellite. Oh, there goes $400 million because our thing didn't work. It's another thing to blow up a couple of people.
It is. It's scary. And, you know, the difference is when space shuttles had their accidents, right? NASA's stock didn't plummet, you know, 99%. Like, there are stockholders involved.
Actually, it's a private company. There are no stockholders.
There's no stockholders at all?
No.
It's not. None of that money is tied to other...
No, it's not. It's a privately held company. But that's
there you go. I mean,
you can imagine it's still not a good thing if you kill a few astronauts.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
You're
going to
lose some contracts.
You know, people who are astronauts, they sign up for that sort of danger. I mean, they realize when you're strapping yourself to, you know, 400,000 pounds of liquid fuel and trying to leave the Earth,
that
there's an inherent amount of danger involved in that.
Was it... Apollo 13, or was it? It may have been Armageddon. That as the rocket's about to take off, that one astronaut turns the other one and goes, "You know, you're flying on a craft that was given to the lowest bidder, or something like that." It's like, oh shit!
Right. Yeah.
Hey, Harry.
Yeah, Rock.
You know, we're sitting on 4 million pounds of fuel, one nuclear weapon, and a thing that has 270,000 moving parts, built by the lowest bidder. Oh, makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, I don't think it's a lowest bidder situation. Obviously, the fine engineers at SpaceX, you know, really, really care about what they're doing. You can see it, like, in the passion of their webcast and stuff like that. Like, they're super into it. They're geeking out on landing a rocket on a barge. So, it has to happen, because right now we're flying our astronauts over to Russia.
Let's do letters. Got a number of letters here. First one is from Mike Fernandez.
Hi, Mike.
And he said, in your last episode, it's actually a couple of episodes ago, you mentioned using water as a form of electricity storage by pumping it to a higher elevation when electricity storage is low and pumping it down when you need it. California actually has one of these. I didn't know. It's called the Helms Pumped Storage Project, and it does exactly that.
That's cool. Where is this?
It's up near Fresno. And so
I say Fres, yes.
So up it goes when there's lots of excess energy, and then the water flows down in a sort of a hydroelectric-like plant when they need it. So, and I got one from an Australian, but I can't find that email. An Australian was saying that they live right next to one. Same kind of thing in a closed system, in a closed loop. They don't lose much water. So we just sort of find these at scale, at big scale, energy storage solutions kind of interesting, so we keep looking for them. I got another one here. This one is from Tom. Can you pronounce this for me?
Helen.
By the way, a number of people have noted that we are absolutely atrocious at non-Anglo-American names.
Yeah, they are apparently listening to the show because they are correct.
So bad.
So Alexi lives in Finland,
and he said, "Look, I'm a Model 3 reservation holder." And I can't wait for it to come out. I think I'm around the sort of, my guess is the 200 to 250 thousandths in the queue. But now Tesla has said they're going to move up production. And Alexa, this person said, how does this actually work? Because if it comes too soon, I haven't saved up my money. And I may not be ready if it comes out in 2018. Because even at the prices that this is going to sell for, it's still a pretty expensive car. So he's like, how does it work? So how it works on my Model X, so I put $5,000 on a second Model X 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So we got the one Model X. We love it. It's great. But I'm not ready to pull the trigger on another very, very expensive car. Thank you very much.
But you are, but you're not.
But I'm not going to. I think I'm going to stick with the S. That's a whole nother story. We might talk about it next week. But I've just got my money sitting there. And so you don't have to actually pull the trigger and get the car. So you can just sit on that reservation space, and then when you're ready, you can say, okay, build the car for me. But
the X has been a little different, though, right?
But the X is a little different now, because I could just say, give me my $5,000 back, because they've got production ramps so fast now, it doesn't matter if I'm a reservation holder at this point. Right. You can go without a reservation, get a new X in a month, and I can get one in a month. So if they really increase production, maybe this won't matter. You'll just realize, hey, they're making these so fast, I can just get my money back. But even if you want to hold your reservation space, the way it's worked in the past is that you just keep your money there, you can delay your decision, and then when you're ready to pull the trigger, say, go, build it.
Yeah. And so, again, it'll depend on how many people are actually following through on their orders, where Tesla is at the time that you're ready to go. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about it. Just ride it out and see what happens. You'll be good to go.
And to put it another way, Tesla is quite happy to sit on your $1,000 for as long as you want to, because it's zero interest.
Apparently, they're not spending it, though. Like, they're actually in like some sort of escrow accounts or something like that.
I need to get my money back. But we'll talk about that next
week. You
should
get your money back.
Here we go. Charging. This one is from
Elling Stenseth.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Charging. It is known that lithium-ion batteries will wear out over time if you charge them too long.
Well, let's start that over again, because the email is Elling Stenseth, but the salutation at the end is from somebody named Silke. So,
Silke Stenseth.
So I'm not sure if Elling Stenseth and Silke share an email account, but it's from Silke.
So it is known that lithium-ion batteries will wear out if you charge them too long. In this case with Tesla car batteries as well. Do you have some kind of mechanism that cuts the electricity when the battery is fully charged? At this point, I'm waiting to hear about our Model X, when it'll be built. We're expecting confirmation any day now. Yeah, the point is here, Silke, that there is, if you overcharge lithium ion batteries, they can explode. If you overcharge them or you charge them too fast, apparently it can wear them out. There's all of this software in Teslas, which means that it charges really fast after up to about 80%.
Yeah.
And then it slows right down to do that last bit. And as we've noted here on the show, the technology in these batteries and the software they're using to charge these batteries has mean that there's been very little degradation. So this is not like the older lithium-ion batteries that were in your laptop, which after a year were crap.
Yeah.
These are lasting for a very long time.
But I've also heard reports that they recommend keeping it plugged in even when it's fully charged, as it will just condition the battery on some level. So I think there's some anecdotal information about the RAV4 in that sense, that like keeping it charged in helps with the volt, keeping it plugged in helps. So it's probably a similar thing with the X, but it's not just going to continue to charge completely until it turns to be 17,000,000 degrees and explodes. It's not
going to happen. My Tesla now is 33,000 miles, and I've lost 10 miles of range. It now fully charges to 260 miles, and it used to do 270. So that is amazingly good. It's on track
so
for
like
having
5%.
Yeah,
less than 5%.
Yeah, so it's on track to like at 100,000 miles to have 90% of its charge. So,
which is spectacular.
That is unbelievably good. And this is also the group, the husband and wife team, that are actually going to take their X and they're going to tow it across Canada, not from Florida to Canada, like I said last week. They're going to go across Canada. And we apparently destroyed their names in terms of pronunciation. These are the people we're going to follow when they take a camper van and they're going to go across Canada and to talk all about it. And we're going to have them on the show.
That was on last week's show that I missed.
Because you were so lazy.
I was lazy. We appreciate the letters.
Thank you,
letters. Keep them coming.
Yes.
We're going to follow Rolf and Silke on their adventure across Canada. And that's pretty exciting.
And, hey, go on iTunes, leave a comment and a rating. It really helps us out if you do that. It would be really good if you could do that.
Good, bad, or indifferent. And if it's bad, we're coming for you.
Don't. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, his name is Tom Wolfson. My name is Mel Herbert. This is Talking Tesla 34. We'll talk to you next week, unless you've got something better to do, Tom.
Nope, I'll be here for the people, because the people need the Tom.
The Tom abides. Why? Because we're
talking
Tesla.